daf yesterday, the Gemara asks how many zeitim are in a kazayit for the purposes of bracha achrona. which just shows that Chazal, they had a sense of humor. You think they didn't think that was funny also? We all laughed at it. You think they didn't laugh at that? More than a zayit, because you don't count the pit. In other words, a kazayit is the measurement of
the displacement of water,
of the displacement of water of an olive, including the pit. But when you eat one zayit,
you're not eating the pit.
Then the Gemara discusses, well,
what if you eat the pit?
The Gemara doesn't ask that, but the Gemara asks, well, what's a zayit? Is it a zayit this big, that big? Mama zayit, papa zayit, mama zayit, or baby zayit?
Is it tiny little black ones that come over and come like this big? Or is it like
but he's huge, it's a big olive.
Well, that's a separate question of whether or not our zaytim and beitzim and etc. have changed. But okay, we're at the end of the sugi here on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The question of like where you would blow the shofar when, in other words, barishona, okay, in the mikdash, they would blow shofar even on Shabbos. Hitzkin Rebbe Gamliel that you could blow it, fill in the blank. That was the topic last week. Where there's a betin in Yavne.
At the Beit Din, outside the Beit Din.
But one of the ways in which Yerushalayim was superior to Rabban Gamliel's Takana, that you could blow it elsewhere, is that in Yerushalayim, not only would they blow it in Beit Din, but you could blow it, the Mishnah says, Slicha. Hayta Yerushalayim Yitera al Yavne Shekol Ir Shehi Ro'ah V'Shomat V'Krovah V'Yochol Lavo Tokin. Any other city or village that's all of these things, you could also blow. So the Gemara, of course, has to define what are these criteria. It's a two. I'd love it over Aleph. It's a two lines above the Mishnah. Ro'eh. What does it mean? You can see it. What was our first association when we read the Mishnah?
Purim.
We'll see, it's a little bit yuk. Ro'eh prat liyoshevet benachal. So if you live in a valley, you're close to Yerushalayim, but Yerushalayim is not visible because of the topography, so that doesn't count. Shomat prat liyoshevet berosh ahar. Also, if you're close by, but you're so high up that you can't hear, lo nechshav. Krova prat liyoshevet chutz l'tchum. So we had debated whether or not Efrat would count. Is Efrat inside the Tchum Shabbat of Yerushalayim?
No, I doubt it.
Not at all.
Not at all.
V'yechol alavo, prat lamafsik
l'nahar. Not yet.
Not yet.
It's also a possibility.
But if they made, let's say, the Eruvim, got to a point where Efrat was joined to Yerushalayim by multiple Eruvs, would that count?
That would count for some of these criteria, but not for all of them.
But it would count for the Shomer, for the one which you said Tchum, the Shomer, no?
You're talking about Eruv Chatzerot. You're talking about the ability to carry. Like, we have an Eruv that surrounds the Yishuvim, that you can, there's a way to walk from here to Alon Shvut and carry on Shabbat.
Correct. You can increase the Tchum of Shabbat. Basically,
you're talking about two different things.
Oh, okay.
One is Erev Chatzerot, which allows carrying outside in the public domain.
Right.
The other is Erev Tchumin, which allows you to extend the distance. You know, Chazal say that you can't, that there's a force field around every city that extends 2,000 amot out. Like, you imagine like a map of the city, and then you draw a border around that, giving you a 2,000 amma buffer. Beyond that, you can't carry. When you leave Efrat and you see that sign that says after the butka that says Ad Kan Gvul Ha'eruv,
Eruv.
That's Eruv Chatzeres for the purposes of carrying.
Right.
But you're allowed to walk
another
2,000 amot.
You can increase that amot, you can increase that Eruv.
You can increase that through Eruv Tchumen.
Okay, so
but there's a limit to how far you can do that.
Another 2,000
amot
is about that. So, it's a long time before Efrat's going to be able to
make it
to do that, right?
This is a side question. What's a daisy chain? Like if I have, I'm in one issue and I walk 1,500 amot and I get to another issue, and then I walk another 1,500 and I get to another issue.
No, so it's from outside of your yeshuv, right? The people in that in yeshuv, the second yeshuv, they have 2,000 amot. But you've exhausted yours mostly by the time you get there.
Well, you can walk within the second issue.
Once you get to the second issue,
it doesn't reset when you get into issue.
You can walk within it.
In other words, right. But even if you had all of Manhattan from top to bottom, forget carrying in Manhattan, it's a separate question. All of Manhattan, top to bottom, which is 12 miles, is one tchum, right? Meaning, forget carrying, right?
Because it's a city.
But you can walk 12 miles from Battery Park up until Washington Heights on Shabbat and not have a problem of tchum Shabbat, even though you've walked many, 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 many thousands of, because it's all one issue.
But you can't walk, walk from Manhattan to Queens.
But let's say, Lu Yitzu, the Beis HaMikdash was in Washington Heights. Instead of building YU, they built the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Would they be able to blow Shofar on Shabbos down on the Lower East Side? No. Why? Because you can't hear and see from Washington Heights at the tippy top down to the Lower East Side at the bottom. Even though it's all within one Tchum Shabbat. Right? Adrabah, I don't know why I had to give that. Yeah, but we were talking about there were outlying villages. Right, so today, Yibaneh HaMikdash will go back to blowing shofar in Yerushalayim. Yeah.
The actual voice. Is the same halachot? It's like an oshon, and then you hear it. Can be a recording. Can be a microphone.
No, obviously not. Shomat. You think you can hear? They blow shofar in the mikdash. You think you can hear the shofar in Rechavia? No. Okay. Anyway, so that's it. Now the Mishnah says Barishona. We alluded to this Mishnah last time. Barishona haya halulav nital b'mikdash shiva v'medina yom echad. Originally, why was lulav taken in the mikdash all 7 days? Give me one word answer. What?
Why rabbanan?
No.
7 days.
No. In the mikdash, why was lulav taken 7 days?
Oh, because of deraita.
Give me one word answer. Lifnei. Pasuk says, "V'yom arishon ulakachtem lachem b'yom arishon blah 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 usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem shivat yamim." Where is lifnei Hashem Elokeichem? In the mikdash. There's a mitzvah midiraisa to take the lulav 7 days in the mikdash, right? There's a mitzvah diraisa every place else to take it
on the first day.
First day. Why? Give me a two-word answer.
Ulakachtem lachem.
No.
That's two words.
Yeah, but it's the wrong two words. Hava Negila is also two words, but it doesn't answer the question.
Yeah, but this at least is referring to the Arba Minim.
Biyom HaRishon. Lekachtem biyom HaRishon. Yeah, okay. you want half credit? We should only take down half a point? So, biyom HaRishon, every place else is a mitzvah. Derisa only on the other day. So originally, you wouldn't take lulav the other days. Hey, wait a second. I made a mistake. And nobody caught me on it. I was testing you. I said Rabbi Gamliel a minute ago. I meant Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Please, someone amend the recording. It was a test to see if you were paying attention. Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shehe Lulav Nital Bemedina Shiva Zecher LeMikdash. So after Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai makes a takona to
do it all 7 days.
So when we take the lulav on the first day, it's Diraisa, and all the other days, it's Dirabanan. Why Zecher LeMikdash?
Does that mean when the Beis HaMikdash comes back?
It's an interesting question. The takanot that were made, Zech LeMikdash, you think they'll still be in force?
You can't take away those.
There won't be any machlokes. That'll be. Why?
You can't take away once you've done.
Sure, you can.
Add it on.
What, are we gonna keep Tisha B'Av? Are we gonna keep
the Simcha? The Simcha. Why take away from the Simcha?
You'll still keep the day. You'll still remember what the day was. You won't fast. You'll have like different things. Today you're gonna keep it the same way you keep Tisha. Why? Because of Masorah.
Maybe that's why Mashiach's not coming. Maybe that's why Mashiach's not coming. You know, on Tisha B'Av, it's us to learn Torah. In our community, more Torah gets learned on Tisha B'Av than any other day of the year. People sit and they come to Yoshua's Shi'ur, which goes on for 9 hours, and they watch educational videos, and they learn the things. Right? There's more learning goes on Tisha B'Av than the other 364 days. So Mashiach will come, it won't be also to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av anymore. Think of all the bitl Torah. So I don't know. Will the Zecher LeMikdash still take place? Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash will come back, and then he makes another takana. Shiye Yom Hanef Kulo Asur. What's the Yom Hanef?
The
Hanafat HaOmer on the 16th day of Nisan. Right. What's When is Pesach? Well, really, Pesach is the 14th, the day you make the Korban Pesach. The 15th is Chag HaMatzot, although it's true, colloquially we call that Pesach. And the 16th is what we call the first day of no, not Yisru Chag. The first day of Chol HaMoed.
It's also the first day of the Omer.
And it's the first day of the Omer in Beit HaMikdash. They would bring the Korban HaOmer and the sheaves of the new wheat would be waved. There was a tekes. It probably looked something like a lulav. And what happened with the Hanafat HaOmer, the waving of the Omer?
Chadash became mutar.
Chadash became mutar. You know, there's a issur called Chadash. You can't eat the new wheat of that year's harvest until they do this thing with the Omer on the 16th of Nisan. Whether or not Chodesh applies in Chutz La'aretz as a machlokes, some are machmir, some aren't. But in Eretz Yisrael, we're all careful about Chodesh. I mean, it's taken care of for you. Like, you can't buy a bag of flour from new wheat. I mean, what? That was grown in Israel. Right. It used to be that almost all the wheat that was grown in Israel was used for animals. And the wheat that we used to eat was imported. I don't know if that's still true. It's better quality, so it's more valuable to export. But in all cases, it's put on the shelf until, or it's held in a machsan
until after
Pesach because of Chodesh. And that year's new crop of wheat becomes permitted with the ceremony that's done in Beit HaMikdash called the Hanafat HaOmer. The Hanafat HaOmer, Rashi, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shiye Yom HaNef Kulo Asur. Yom Hanafat Omer Kulo Asur Le'echo Min HaChadash U'midiraita Meshehe'ir Mizrach Mutar Mi'ikar Adin, Rashi says, what time could they do the Hanafat Omer? any time from the beginning of the day. So in the absence of the Omer, when does it become mutter? At daybreak. In other words, the six, are you allowed to eat Chadash on the 16th?
Only after the Nafar.
Give me a yes or no answer.
Yes.
Don't be such a Chacham.
Yes.
Yes. But you have to first do this Hanafa. The 16th inherently is though a day you're allowed to eat the new grain. So once Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and we no longer have this ceremony which serves as the matir, it's what allows us to eat the new grain. What creates the permission to eat the new grain?
The day itself. Just like default.
What does Rashi say? Rashi says, Mishahir Mizrach Mutar.
Makes sense.
No, from times of Mikdash it was only Mutar. From the time you
from
do
the right now.
I understand why he says it's that day, but wouldn't it be daybreak plus whatever time it takes to do it?
No, because we can't do it anyway.
But you can't say it starts in time 000, because if there was a base of Mikdash, and let's say the only time they could do it was 00, and it takes them 10 minutes to do it, so it'd be 0 plus 10 minutes.
In other words, the day of the 16th from the daytime is when Chadash becomes Mutter, if you do the Hanafa. The fact that it takes time to do the Hanafa, that's your problem. But really, the 16th is the time it becomes Mutter. You can no longer do the Hanafa because you don't have Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's your problem. So the day itself, the arrival of daylight, the arrival of the moment in which you could have done the Hanafa is what now releases you and permits you to eat the...
So in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if for some unknown reason they didn't do the Hanafa, the end of the day would also mean...
If there was a delay,
right.
Let's say they could only do it at 3 in the afternoon, so you couldn't eat until 3 in the afternoon.
No, but if they didn't do it at all in the time of Beis HaMikdash, then the next day it would also be Mutar.
That's a different question. Like, if they didn't do it on the 16th, should they do it on the 17th?
Right.
That's a different question. I have looked at the Gemara in Menachos to discover that. But that's not the normal case. So, Yom HaNef Kulo Asur. The Gemara will explain. So now look at the Gemara. Minalan, back to the topic of the Lulav, the Avdinan Zechel HaMikdash. What's the source for this idea that you do things Zechel HaMikdash? Now it's interesting, these two takanot in this Mishnah, taking the Lulav all seven and making the Yom HaNef the whole day Asur, Mi'ikar Adin, you're allowed to eat the Chadash from daybreak on the 16th. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, no, the whole day becomes Asur, and you have to wait until the 17th.
He doesn't say why, though.
In the Mishnah, he does not say why. As you can anticipate, having learned ahead, the Gemara will...
Tell us why.
We'll ask the question. What's different... What?
After the Korban.
Mishachar of Beit HaMikdash, yeah.
קח עוד שניים שיש שיעור.
קצת מה שנשתת עם זה, זה יהיה לך יבש.
What's different about these two תקנות?
One says specifically that it's Zechel HaMikdash, the second one does not say.
That's true, but it's widely understood that both of them are Zechel HaMikdash, that all these takanot are Zechel HaMikdash.
But it's not what he says. He says, Itkin Rabbi Yochanan Mezakei She'elu Lam Nitol B'Amdina Shiva Zechel HaMikdash V'Shiyeh Yom HaNef Kulo Asur.
I will repeat what I just said. You are correct. It is not explicit, but it is widely understood that all of these takanot listed in the Mishnah here, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, are Zechel HaMikdash. The Gemara later will make it clear that this is Zechel HaMikdash.
Okay.
What's different about these two Zechel HaMikdash?
One is positive, one's negative.
Oh, one is negative, correct. But what does that mean? Meaning, like I said last week, I mean, Rabbi Soloveitchik said this, but it's here already, like, you know, obvious. There are two different types of Zecher LeMikdash. One extends the mitzvah. One says, you know what, you don't have a mikdash anymore. So we're going to pretend that when you're in Efrat, we're going to act as if you're in the Beit HaMikdash. What is taking the lulav? What is the emotion that's on which you are contingent when you take the lulav on day 2 through 7?
Simcha.
We're going to give you a bissel simcha on Chol HaMoed, which you normally wouldn't have if you were outside of Beit HaMikdash, and you're going to pretend that you are in Beit HaMikdash. But Yom HaNef, Kulo Asur, does what?
Limits you.
It limits you, and what does it create vis-a-vis Beit HaMikdash?
A longing.
A longing, right? We're rubbing your face in it, right? We're making you hyper-aware of the fact that you don't have Beit HaMikdash. If you had Beit HaMikdash, they would have...
Same thing about the lulav. Like, you're taking the lulav and you're feeling simcha, and you're saying to yourself, imagine how much simcha I really would have.
Okay, that's true. Except, in other words, except one is we give you an opportunity for more mitzvah, and the other is we generate an isur which highlights the absence of the Beit HaMikdash. So you see, there's two different types of Zecher LeMikdash. So Minalan Davdin and Zecher LeMikdash. What's the source for this idea that you have Zecher LeMikdash? De Omar Kra. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Ki e'ele aruka lecha. I will extend a healing to you. Umimakotecha erpecha. I will heal you from your wounds. Neum Hashem. Ki nidche karu lecha. You are called an outcast. Tzionhi, Doresh Einla. She is Zion. She has no Doresh. She has no one to... What? To seek after her, to seek her welfare.
Suitors.
Suitors. Right? To chase after her. Ruben Margolis points out that this pasuk ki e'ele aruka lecha, I will extend. How does he translate the pasuk?
They called you discarded one.
No. Before that, ki e'ele aruka.
From your wounds I will heal you. I'll make a cure for you, and from your wounds I will heal you.
I'll make a. What's the verse?
I will make a cure for you.
I will make a cure for you. Right? Aruka is a cure. Is a healing. Right. So e'ele, what does that pasuk remind you of?
Im lo
alet Yerushalayim al rosh simchati. Right, whenever you have a happy moment, you always are somehow cognizant of what's lacking. But e'ele is also Rashi Tevot for only here. The only place that the Gemara of all of the Takanot of Zecher LeMikdash. The only place the Gemara asks for a source about it and brings this posuk is here in the context of Arba Minim. So what's Ele? Etrog. Arava. Lulav. And Hadas. Okay. The Gra, he may be quoting the Gra, I'm not sure. So this is the posuk of Zecher LeMikdash. Mechlal deboi drisha. So what does the outcast Zion require? Someone to seek after, to be a suitor, right? To woo her, to remember her, to think about her, to, right? In other words, it'd be very easy to... In other words, like it's a kind of counter-historical reality.
We haven't been there for a
long time. Not only would it be easy to forget, we should have forgotten. Every other nation, right, forgot. Right? All those Amim that lived here before we came and God gave it to us. Right? They don't have like a... There's no APAC for the Yevusim. Right? I mean, seriously. And even people that, like, you know, I think of the ethnic folk that I went to school with in America. There were Greek kids. Now, the Greeks were probably the most ethnically connected to a culture.
Even more than the Italians?
Yeah, more than the Italians, because the Greeks learned Greek. The Italian kids didn't learn Italian.
The Greek kids learned because of church.
They had Greek school. Yeah, well, now it might be because their church was still conducting Greek. So just, we went to Hebrew school on Sunday. They went to Greek school, right, to learn Greek. But it wasn't just so they could daven in the Greek Orthodox Church, right? There was a sense that they wanted their kids to know Greek, right? The Italians, they knew.
But they learned that Greek.
They didn't learn the Greek of Aristotle. They learned the Greek that, I think it was Greek miduberet, right? You know, the Greek that they could if they went to go see Safta in Athens, right? but the Italians, you know, they had a handful of words, you know, for the food and the curses. But they didn't have any fluency in Italian. There was a... it's a Beferish episode of The Sopranos, where they go to Italy for something, and Tony is like almost embarrassed that he can bekoshi speak Italian, right? He could passively understand, but he can't speak because there was no expectation that an Italian American would have fluency.
That sounds like an American coming to Israel today.
Yeah,
you might be able to understand a little bit.
Yeah. But the idea that these Greeks who were like, you know, they maintained certain traditions, they maintained the kind of distinct Christian faith, and they learned a language that was different, right? But even they didn't have this kind of like longing to go back to the homeland. I mean, it wasn't, there was no havamina. And after a couple of generations, it certainly disappears. Right? So...
Yeah, but
you know, there was anti-Irish, and there was anti-Catholic, and there was
none of them were Megurash. They weren't exiled from their lands.
That's true. That's true. They had to run away because they were going to starve to death from the potato famine.
You got a point.
Anyway,
unique. I mean, the generation that left had a long time with the parents once they'd grown up, but not after that.
So my time. So v'she yom hanef kulo asur. My time. So why did he make that whole day asur? Mehera yebone beis hamikdash. So halavai beis hamikdash shall be rebuilt. V'yomru eshtekad milo achanu beheira mizrach. Don't you remember last year when there was no Beit HaMikdash, we ate the Chadash right from the crack of dawn? Achshav Nami Nechol. So now this year, we should also, you know, there was a fear that when Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, people will have forgotten that, people will think that it's Mutter to eat Chadash from the crack of dawn, when in fact, when is it really Mutter? It's Mutter only after they wave the Omer. Unless there is no Omer, because there's no Beit HaMikdash, and then it's... well, I think in reality, it's only after Pesach, in all cases. V'lo yadi de'ishtekad lo hava Omer. And they'll have forgotten that the year before there was no Omer. Heir mizrik hitir. Hashta de'ika Omer. Omer matir. In other words, without an Omer, the matir unlocking this prohibition is crack of dawn. But when there's an Omer, the Omer serves as the matir.
There's no connection to this in the original thing of why do we remember each line?
What?
There's no connection between the first two lines and what we're doing now. About Lama, why do we have Vechelus?
No, you saw the two dots, it's a new topic.
I didn't see the two dots, okay.
So Ilema, Dimivne Emat. When? So when? What are we talking about? Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. What's the circumstance here? Ilema de ibone be shitas shitzar. So maybe Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt on the 16th. Because what's the problem? The 16th comes, there's no Beis Hamikdash.
Right? Sunrise, you're allowed to eat.
Sunrise, you're allowed to eat. And then what happens?
They build it.
Everybody like bake themselves a fresh matzah with this chodesh flour, and they benched with such kavana that Hashem sent the mikdash. And on the afternoon of the 16th, the mikdash descended. So now what can we do?
We've already
eaten the chodesh. But what? Suddenly we can do.
But didn't you have to be?
No, the third one comes.
You have to have been kotzer the night before.
I see that you've looked ahead.
No, I just remember something from I'm not sure when.
How many years ago was the Daf Yomi that you were 2 days behind or ahead?
More likely to remember from high school.
You know what? I'm going to drink a l'chaim to the fact that I remember something.
Hare here, Mizrach hitir. So if it's built on the 16th,
if I base my drinking on that, I'll never drink.
it's like a drinking game. Oh, what's that, a drinking game? Like you,
right?
Well, so somebody said that like they're watching the State of the Union. Every time Trump mispronounced a word, they had to do a shot. Like they were in 10 minutes, they were
too many memories.
Amen. Only good ones.
You drink enough.
Don't worry. If every time you remember a Gemara from years ago, you have a shot, you're not going to become an alcoholic.
Ouch.
Ela dibone bit chamishar. So maybe Beis Hamikdash should be built on the 15th, meaning on Pesach and Chag HaMatzos. You see Rashi. Shahaya shahut liktsor b'motzei yom tov, v'lahavi ola machar ke mitzvato. In other words, if the Beit Hamikdash is built on the 15th, so on motzei yontif you could still go out and kotzer the wheat and bring it the next day. If it's on the 16th, so there's nothing to worry about. The 16th, you wake up on the 16th, you look out the window. Is Beit Hamikdash there? No. So what can you do?
Eat.
If Beis HaMikdash happens to fall down from Shemayim later that day, lo mishane, next year we'll do the Omer. Ela de'ibonei bechamisar, if it's built on the 15th, michatzot hayom lahalan, lishterei, dehatznan, harechokin mutarin michatzot hayom. In other words, wait a second. They brought the Omer on the 16th, on first day of Chol HaMoed.
After dawn, after
sometime in the morning. They didn't. Beis HaMikdash didn't have a Twitter account. How would we here in Efrat know at what moment precisely they had brought the Omer? We would not know.
Right.
To say nothing of the Yidden up in the Galil. So what would we do?
Wait till the end of the day.
No, we wait until noon. Because Mistama, they would have done it before noon. It was something that was on the schedule for the morning. And by noon, you could safely assume they would have already done it. And at that point, it became mutter for us. But en achinami, if Beis HaMikdash should have Twitter, and 8 o'clock in the morning, they would have said, right? You remember like what do they always say? Like now it's different, but like in the days when the rabbi would sell the chametz to the janitor, right? So they would make an announcement like, you know, you can't take your chametz out until 9 o'clock. You have to give the rabbi time to meet with the janitor and buy it back, right? But maybe, like it wasn't, he gave himself a buffer, right?
Yeah.
And if you knew, despite what was in the shul newsletter, that you had to wait until 9 o'clock to eat your chametz, but if you happened to be there with the rabbi was there right after Havdalah, and the janitor was there, and they did the deed, so you didn't have to wait until 9 o'clock, because you
undid, knew. Undid the deed.
Well, they did a different deed.
Okay.
Now it's like built into the, yeah. La'alan lefish ein betin mitatzlim. Because they knew that the Bezdin weren't lazy, and they would do it first thing in the morning. Lo nistrecha de ibone b'chamishas chamisar. Chamisar is Aramaic for chamisha as 15. Samuch l'shkia. May if the Beis Hamikdash is built late in the day on the 15th, inami de ibone b'leile. Or if it's built at night on the 15th, meaning that there wouldn't have been time to do most of the 15th. Yeah. There wouldn't have been time to do the Omer. Oh, to be kotzer. Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, b'shitat Rabbi Yehuda, Amra. So he says, no. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's chumra, that you have to wait the whole day of the 16th, is because he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Omer, ad etzem hayom hazeh, ad atzmo shel yom. And it's, what's the pasuk? Who's a chumash?
Belechem b'koli b'chamel.
You have the whole pasuk?
Yeah. Ad aviyachem et korban elokechem chukat olam ledorotechem b'chol moshpachechem.
It's Parshas Emor.
Vayikra kav gimel
yudalad. Kav Gimel Yud Dalet here. Velechim v'kali v'karma lo tochlu. All these grains you shouldn't eat. Ad etzem hayom hazeh, until that very day. Ad havi'echem et korban elokechem chukat olam adorechem b'chol moshvotechem. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what does it mean? Ad etzem hayom hazeh. Ad atzmo shel yom ukesavar ad. Ve'ad bechlal. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you do? Because what have we been understanding until now? You wake up on the morning of the 16th, first day of Chol HaMoed. Right? So the first thing they do, or one of the first things they do in Beis HaMikdash, certainly before noon, is you bring the Omer. And then after you bring the Omer, what can you do? Oh boy, can you, because you're very hungry, because you just had Yontif, so you're very hungry. Right? So you can make something out of the new grain. What can you make out of the new grain? Pancakes, waffles.
Not really, because it's festive.
No, you can make matzah. You can make matzah. Okay, it's not. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, what's?
They grind it into the matzah flour, and then you can make it.
No, you think that? What are you saying? Chazal et gebrochs? You kidding me? Although there's a raya in yesterday's daf also that Chazal did eat gebrochs. What's the raya? The Gemara talks about matzah shruya. If you boil a matzah or soak a matzah, as long as when you take it out of the water, it still holds together, then it's still a matzah, and it could be yotzei achilas matzah on it. Yeah. Right? So, haraya.
It's a pretty good
raya. Chazal thought the gebrochs was mutter. So, what do you think I'm going to rely on Chazal? Your daughter will never get a shidduch. So but Rabbi Yehuda said no. When do you do the Omer? On the 16th. When can you eat the Chadash?
On the 17th.
So he says, na enechinami, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that says you can't eat it until this day. And this day itself, you can't eat it either. You have to wait until the next day. Meaning you can't do it on the day that you bring the Omer. You have to wait until the day after.
Up to and including.
Right, but really, did Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Vaha miflig poligole. He disagrees with it. Ditznan mishachar of Beit HaMikdash hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shie yom anef kulo asur. What does that sound like?
It was only after the Churban.
Yeah, it's a takana. What's a takana?
Correction.
A takana means before that?
It was mutter.
It wasn't, it was mutter.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said on the 16th, you could eat it when?
Up till. No, you didn't have to wait till the end of the day.
You didn't have to wait till the end of the day. You could eat on the 16th after they brought the Omer. So what do you mean he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who said nobody can eat on the 16th, neither in the time of Beit HaMikdash nor after Beit HaMikdash? Omer Rabbi Yehuda, v'halo min ha-Torah hu asur. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's also min ha-Torah to eat it the whole day, both in times of Mikdash and after Mikdash. Dichtiv ad etzem ha-yom hazeh v'ad bechlal. Hatam Rabbi Yehuda hu dekatoi. No. Rabbi Yehuda here, it's a mistake to think that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai held like Rabbi Yehuda. Ihu savar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai midirabanan ka'omar. Velohi midiraita ka'amar. Vaha hitkin tikatani mai hitkin darash vihitkin. Hitkin doesn't always mean to institute a rabbinical enactment. Usually it does.
But not necessarily.
But maybe here, what does it mean? He clarified it. He darash, he looked into it, he saw Taka, Rabbi Yehuda's position is correct, and he established that everyone should follow like Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rashi say? Darash vihitkin, darash lehem hamikra. He was dorish the mikra, the pasuk of Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh. Vihitkin shiyanhigu isur lefi she'ad achshav haya heter bidvar mishikarav haomer she'omer matir. In other words, he said, "Enachinami, I paskin like Rabbi Yehuda." And since I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and I get to kind of call the shots at this moment in history, I'm going to say, the halacha is like, but it wasn't a takana. So in that regard, what? It's not a zikr mikdash. It's the essential halacha.
It's what the halacha should have. It's what they should have done, right? All along.
And according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, according to Rabbi Yehuda,
in essence,
Mashiach vilt kimin.
In essence, everybody was doing it wrong until then.
Those that were doing it were not following.
Which is why
opinion.
You can't rely on Chazal for Shruya, for Gibra.
Oh, okay.
Could be that somebody will come along and say that it was wrong all along.
Okay. let's
I'm
look
awake.
At let's look at the next Mishnah. So have another shot. So let's look at the next Mishnah here on Lamed Omud Beis. Bari Shona Hayu Mekablin Eid Chodesh Kol Hayom. It used to be on the day that they were waiting. Which day is this?
On the 30th.
On the 30th, meaning the 30th day after the previous Rosh Chodesh. But maybe it's the 1st, maybe it's the 30th. It's the day after the 29th.
Yeah.
29 plus 1. Yet to be determined whether it's the 30th or whether it's the 1st. So, Bari Shana Hayu Mekablim Eidat HaChodesh Kol Hayom. Beis HaMikdash was in business as long as the sun was shining. There's no night court in Judaism. So they used to be open for business all day. Pam achat nishtohu ha'edim milavo. Once the Edim were tardy in arriving, they came very late in the day. And they came, and they were mekadesh the chodesh, meaning that it wasn't the 30th day, rather it was the 1st. And which chodesh are we talking about? Rosh Hashanah, right? Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. V'nitkalkalu ha-Leviim b'shir. And this caused the Leviim to mess up which Shir Shel Yom they sang.
By the way, how do we know that it's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei?
Well, the Gemara will make it clear that we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. But Rashi also says, no, v'hitkiru shelo yeh mekablim ela ad ha-mincha. So they made a takana that they would only accept witnesses up until mincha time. Which mincha are we talking about? Mincha gedola, mincha ketana, plaga mincha?
Probably mincha gedola.
It sounds like that, yeah. Well, we'll wait till we see in the Gemara. Ve'imbo edim min ha-mincha ve'lamala nohagin oto hayom kodesh ve'lamachar kodesh. They would keep 2 days of Yontif. Mishacharev Beit HaMikdash hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shiu mekablim edut achodesh kol hayom. So after Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai goes back to the original practice of allowing edus all day. Why?
Because
because there was no problem of messing up.
There's no problem, right? So it's not exactly a zechel. It's not a zechel mikdash. Not like this and not like that.
For how much longer after Churban HaBayit do they continue with Kiddush HaKodesh?
That is a machlokas amongst the historians, but apparently for quite a while. Yeah. Right? Certainly all the time that they were in Yavne, and then even
and
after.
Sanhedrin was in Yavne.
In other words, there's the Zechel HaMikdash of Lulav. Right? Where we say, let's pretend, let's give people a little simcha and let them imagine, let them taste what Beis HaMikdash life would have been like. And then there's the Zechel HaMikdash where we kind of heighten our awareness of its absence. Right? We said last week, breaking a glass at the wedding, or scraping off the paint by the door, or at least according to the first understanding of what the Yom HaNef was. What kind of takon is this? Is it Bechlal Zechel HaMikdash?
It's not really Zechel HaMikdash. It's just something that between the practicality.
Yeah.
Was the minhag changed because the Mikdash wasn't there? Because
Well, no, but in other words, there were two different practices in the Mikdash at different points in history. Originally, they accepted Eidus the whole day.
The whole day, and then they messed
at
up.
At a certain point, that led to administrative problems. So they made a takana. That, you know, it's like any bet din or any bureaucracy, right? Like bureaucracies, like everyone, why is the post office not open all day? Why are the banks not open all day? Why does the garage close at 4 in the afternoon? You know why?
Fiesta. Tradition.
Of course they can. You would close your place of business at 4 in the afternoon if you could also. Right? It's like, why is it? Like, the garage is open crack of dawn. Right? You have to get there really early if you want to get your car online to get fixed that day. But they closed by 4. So
business is crack of dawn.
Right, but like, well, it's like just such a strange thing. So
early to bed and early to rise.
Yes, healthy, wealthy, and wise. So wait. So Beit HaMikdash, they said, look, we're going to shorten our hours. We're going to have banker's hours, right, for Kiddush HaKodesh, right, so that we don't run into this administrative problem. Why are banks all closed so early, or even when they're open later in the day, they're closed in the middle of the afternoon? It's not just siesta. This was in America also.
No, America was straight, 9 to 3.
Originally, they used to also have the whole idea of banker's hours, right?
That's what you got to go home early.
What?
What you got to go home early. Right?
No. What were bankers hours? Why were banks always closed for a couple hours in the middle of the afternoon, or in most cases, closed by 3 in the afternoon? If you worked in the bank, you didn't go home at 3. Yeah. There was so much in the pre-computer era to run a bank.
Back office.
There was so much time. There was so much clerical work, right, that had to be done to keep track of everything, that you had to have 2 hours closed in the middle of the day where there were no customers in the bank, so that all the pekidim could.
Even today, they don't go home at 1 o'clock. They're
right. So it was to deal with all the bureaucracy.
Yeah.
That's why bureaucracies have those hours, because they have to be.
Right. Nobody's.
You know what this is?
Stamps.
Right. So
yeah, but it's
right, right. So
I forgot to put the ink on it.
No, my ink was here. My pen was here. So right. So Beit HaMikdash said the same thing. We're gonna close at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We're gonna close at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in order to not run into bureaucratic problems. So there was the original practice in Beit HaMikdash.
What I understand from this is that somebody came later in the day. Because of that, the VM screwed up on their Shir Shliyom.
So therefore, they wouldn't accept the Eidim.
1 second. But even if they came at 11 o'clock in the morning, they already said the Shir Shliyom.
Ah, no, but not for the Musaf. That's
was the after the later.
As you can anticipate, this is exactly the question that
I was going to ask.
It was
almost always after. They almost always came after Shacharit.
No, we say one Shir, and we say it in the morning at the end of the davening. The Levim sang each time a korban was brought. They sang for the Talmud Shel Shachar. They sang for if there was korban musaf. They sang for Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim, and there were different shirim for each. That's precisely what the Gemara is going to ask. So Mishachar Beit HaMikdash Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Shiyu Mekablim Eidot HaChodesh Kol Hayom. So what's his takana?
That because there's nothing administrative to mess up.
No, so we're going to go back to the original. We're going to recapture the original faith. We're going to go back to the way that it was in Beit HaMikdash to begin with. So it's not exactly a Zecher HaMikdash. It's a kind of saying, like, look, Chazal, the Beit HaMikdash made a decision.
It's Zecher HaMikdash because you don't have a Beit HaMikdash, therefore we can do it all day. It's the same, like,
right, because we don't have this. There's no need to worry that there's going to be a problem. Okay, so we'll finish.
When you're rubbing your face, you don't have a base.